How extensive is loneliness in Australia?
So right now we don't have that data, but what we do know is that risk factors of loneliness are actually increasing. That's one of those things that we're investigating right now, but for what we know is like things like living alone, divorce rates are increasing, so those are the risk factors that are increasing.
Okay then, yep. Okay, so that makes sense. I was going to say, why are we getting lonelier? I guess that ties into those risk factors, the divorce rates and the aging population, those sorts of things.
Exactly.
Your piece in the conversation was really interesting, especially the part on loneliness being catching. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
So that's based on a study that uses social network analyses to understand how if one person is lonely.
Which study was it? Sorry? Which study was it?
It's a social network analysis study, so it's actually using that particular technique where one person's asked if they feel lonely, and then they ask their friend if they are lonely as well, and then that friend nominates another friend. So what we do know is that if there's a person that's saying that they are lonely, then they are more likely to have lonelier friends. But how that is actually transmitted, we actually don't know. So it could be that a lonely person, is less cooperative or less open to the people around them, and that is transmitted through, a sense of non-connection or, that actually influences and affects that person that way. And then that just gets passed on. But what we do know is that at this stage is that if one person is saying they're lonely, it can be found up to 3 degrees of separation from them. Their friends will also report loneliness.
Okay, that's really interesting, isn't it? It's a little bit worrying.
worrying.
Yeah.
we do also know that positive affect can be contagious as well. So
that's true. That makes sense, I suppose, when you say it like that.
Exactly. So can we use, a more positive approach and openness to other people to actually kind of mitigate that?
Okay, then. And you mentioned risk periods for loneliness, younger people and older people. Is it only people who are alone who are lonely? Can people in relationships, in marriages, be as prone to feelings of loneliness?
Well, that's the thing about loneliness is that it's a subjective feeling. So you could be embedded within a whole system but still feel lonely. So it could be like young people, for example, quite vulnerable to loneliness, but people don't normally think of young people as a lonely cohort. But especially from 15 years old to 25, there's a peak period of loneliness there.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. So the researcher Breen Brown, she talks a lot about disconnection and loneliness and the shame attached to these feelings. Why is there so much shame attached to feeling lonely?
I'm not too familiar with her particular research, but I think where she's probably coming from is that with loneliness, it probably comes with a stigma that you shouldn't actually be lonely. Since you're living in a society and you're already interacting with people, there's no reason why you should feel that way. So it's this idea of like not allowing themselves to feel lonely, not giving themselves permission to feel that way, even though loneliness is inbuilt in all of us.
Yes. So there is that stigma. Can we reduce the stigma, do you think?
I think it's got to do with a lot of public health education. I think that we need to also rectify, I guess, the misconception of, getting the public to understand that loneliness is not necessarily depression.
Yes.
If you're depressed, you're more likely to be lonely, but just because you're lonely doesn't mean you're depressed.
Yes.
So people often think it's a little bit more sinister than it is, and then it lets it get worse, and then it actually affects their mental health. And when, in fact, we can actually tackle loneliness first, and actually that would be good for not just your mental health, but physical health.
Okay. Yep. And so loneliness is just a normal part of being human, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lack of understanding that that's the case.
Yes. Okay. That's a good point, message. Now it's a big goal to end loneliness. How does the Australian Coalition to End Loneliness hope to achieve this?
Look, I think the first part is not just understanding the public health education and public health campaign, but also like getting researchers to underpin a lot of the current interventions going around. There's a lot of people out there that are interested in reducing loneliness, and lots of organizations that dedicated millions of dollars to this cause. But I think for us, it's about ensuring that whatever programs are being put out there actually works rather than cause any harm, because we do know that, like, for example, programs that actually only provide social opportunities don't always work, but programs that actually help shepherd and help structure more positive interactions with group members and also change the way we think about other people can be more effective than those that just provide social opportunities. So can we actually augment some of the current programs that are going on right now?
Yes, that makes sense. Have you got an example of that type of project that doesn't just provide the social opportunities, but the ways to help people?
I can speak about one particular program that I've done that I've closed recently. So this is for young people with psychosis.
With psychosis, did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you think about the onset of psychosis, you know, the period is like from, you know, 15 to 25, you're at risk of actually developing psychosis. Coupled on with the fact that the moment you have an illness like that, you know, quite highly stigmatized condition, you know, people, they do actually go through this social fragmentation of their network. People actually have misconceptions of what psychosis is and actually break friendships and things like that. So this is a very vulnerable group of young people. And so an example is, instead of actually this whole program is not about connecting the members within the program. They didn't actually have to make friends, but what we taught them was actually if you're feeling this way, how do you actually send the right signal to other people that you're willing to connect? And how do you actually maintain and develop healthy friendships, or even just repair the ones you already have? Can you look at within your network and improve one relationship, even if it's a family relationship? Or can you turn an acquaintance into a friend? You know, and it's not about making many friends, it's about improving one relationship. And those guys were not expected to make friends with each other, and you know, but that confidence and that social confidence actually really helped them get out there, and a lot of them started to get even, like, seek work and got jobs and went back to school and things like that.
Wow.
It became this joke that, you know, my program was actually a work intervention program. Started, you know, being unemployed and staying at home, to started to, you know, be confident enough to even do very simple things like go back to school. Not simple things, like that's not simple at all. You know, going back to school and going to work is pretty huge. But like simple things like actually instead of going to the checkout, automated checkout at the grocery store, they were like going to, you know, the ones that were attended by people. You know, so little things like that, kind of getting their social confidence up and going again.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes sense. So if it's proven to work with one group, why couldn't it work with another?
Yeah. So this whole group is about, you know, showing positive effect to other people, generating more positive effect, using their strengths to actually repair their network, or reignite that network that they had before.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's really positive. Probably a good way to end the conversation. I don't want to take up too much of your time.
No. All right. I'm glad I could help. Sorry, I was so slammed yesterday.
Oh, no, that's fine. I understand you're really, really busy. But I really appreciate your time, Michelle. And I'll keep in touch and let you know if I have any luck with it.
All right. Fingers crossed. Good luck.
Oh, thanks so much, Michelle.
All right. Okay.
Good luck with it. Okay, bye.